Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
Mike Lupica here, MLB.com and the New York Daily News.
And Bob Ryan here, Boston Globe and ESPN.
And I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press, and this is the Sports Reporters Podcast, and we're glad to welcome you to it. And we are setting up what is historically, undeniably, the biggest weekend of NFL playoff football in history, because there's more games than ever. It's like cereal boxes, new and improved, and 30% more. And we've got that. We will get to the Georgia-Alabama game and talk about everything that happened there. But let us begin with NFL playoff weekend. We have got so many games. It's almost impossible to keep up. Two on Saturday, three on Sunday, one on Monday. Hard to tell where to begin. Why don't we just do it chronologically? Let's start with Saturday's games. The most interesting to me is going to be New England-Buffalo, because this is a game that many feel should have been maybe a round later, or could have potentially even been an AFC championship round, depending on who gets on a run. But one of these two teams is going to go home. Which one do we think it's going to be?
You said we were going to go in order. That's not in order. Tyler's Raiders play the first game.
Well, I just said Brewers Saturday. I didn't want to go in time order, but we can do that if you
like. I am fascinated. No, listen, I love the Patriots and the Bills, because maybe, you know, the one time this year they played like the forward pass hadn't been invented. But let's start with the first one. The Raiders, to me, have become one of the most compelling stories late in the football season. They were a compelling story all along for reasons that had nothing to do with football and even had to do with the tragedy of a drunk driving accident. They are coming off a game that ended the regular season that is just one of the best and most exciting NFL regular season games I ever saw. And they play a team, the Bengals, that does really, really well, Mitch and Bob, until, oh, wait, I know, this time of year. And The Bengals off the regular season ought to be favored, but this, to me, going in, even in Cincinnati, is a really, really great game to kick off the weekend.
I don't think you can underplay the drama aspect of them in terms of if you're just a neutral looking at this thing. And it is a strange, very, very, very strange season. The whole Gruden thing was almost unprecedented, why he had to go and then turning the reins over to somebody that none of us had ever heard of, and one of those anonymous, faceless NFL, or not just NFL, but football assistants. He turns out to be the right man in the right place at the right time. But then they have turned, and you're right, Mike, that game last week, the setup for the game, the finish of the game, everything was just incredibly exciting. So, yeah, and then now the other side, Joe Burrow and Chase. I mean, Chase has elevated himself as a rookie into one of the elite receivers, and Burrow, of course, he's going to be around a long, long time, as doing great things, I think.
I agree with your assessment, Mike, in the larger picture storyline thing. But this is, I hate the phrase house money. I don't think that teams ever think they're playing with house money. I think every team thinks that they're playing for a championship. But with the Raiders, they have that thing of like, we have overcome so much with this. The season's been so crazy. Why not? Why not just go forward? Whereas with the Bengals, this is a calling card thing. I mean, they kind of threw themselves out there. And Joe Burrow with his, I mean, he plays, he's got swagger. And he basically says, no, we're not a year or two away. We're here. Okay, you're here. Prove that you're here. Right. And there's a little bit more on them, I think, that way. We also have to remember the Raiders are coming off of four straight wins. So this is very impressive. I mean, they're taking a lot of momentum into the game. I would feel better, and Tyler, maybe you can tell me, if Josh Jacobs is okay. Because he's the only person who can run the ball on that team, and I don't know that I think he skipped practice or whatever. I don't know what his status is going to be. I'm sure if he's playable. They're going to use him. But
Tyler,
they do,
you're our Raiders man on the ground. Yeah. How is he?
You know, I don't know, to be honest.
Well, get out there.
Yeah, right.
Figure it out.
I got to go get on the ground.
Come on, it's early.
Hit up my my inside sources there. But yeah, when he is healthy, he obviously gives them that burst. They don't have the receivers, obviously, because with Ruggs not being there to really give them that threat. But I don't know. For me, it's Derek Carr. I mean, this guy is so underappreciated, underrated. They're playing hot. To me, it's quarterback play. We talked about a national championship game. If Derek Carr could outplay Burrow, I think Raiders could have a chance. I like them. They've been road dogs on the they've been underdogs on the road a lot this year, and they covered and they find ways to win. They beat the Ravens. They beat the Steelers. They beat up. I mean, they did lose to the Ravens or the Bengals earlier, but that game was a weird game. I like
you
him.
Know what?
Let's go. Come
you
on. If they win, I'm going to be playing the Raiders song when we coming out and start
if
the
he
show.
If he outplays Joe Burrow, you'll have reason to do
well,
that.
Well, Mitch, could listen, Joe Burrow and Chase may light it up. Absolutely. We've seen them do it. There have been times this year when they look like one of the best teams in the world, and they've been head-scratchingly bad at some time. But you know what? I look at Burrow, and I'm thinking, he could light up the Raiders. Or he could light them up the way Justin Herbert did a few days ago, and somehow they could still lose the game. I mean, two of the best young quarterbacks, and you don't even have to call them young quarterbacks, two of the best quarterbacks in the sport have been opponents now for the Raiders in this week, okay? And as great as Burrow has looked, there might be something going on with the Raiders. Can I tell you that it is? No. That's why they play the game. But there's something, there's a little bit of magic to the Raiders right now. And Mitch, you're right. Because of the way they finish. Never bet against the hot team in sports.
One other thing they have is a kicker you can rely on in the big moments. Has anyone ever had more dramatic kicks in the season than Carlson?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Think about that. Tyler knows
The guy in Kansas City's not bad. The guy
I'm not saying he's the best kicker per se. I'm simply saying he's been placed in a situation where he's to deliver, and he has delivered he has been placed in that situation in a disproportionate amount of times
He'll be big, especially in the outdoors of the weather. It'll be important.
That's all. I mean, they have a guy they can rely on. That's what I'm saying.
Didn't they play earlier this season?
They did. Vegas.
Didn't Cincinnati roll all over them?
Yeah, like I said, they played. It was a weird game. The Bengals did win.
32-13, if I remember.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, it was closer than that. But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
No, he watched the game, though. He did.
Right.
He did.
All right. Closer than that. That's not that close, but okay, closer than that. Well, look. All right. That's why we're going to watch, and that's how it's going to kick off the weekend, and it's a great way to kick it off, and it's new. You know, we haven't seen this matchup before. We have not. I love watching a team come into its own. And in many ways, both teams are kind of doing that. I mean, the Raiders, they're not doing it with this new young cast like Cincinnati is, but you didn't expect them to be here, and here they are. And certainly without the coach, you didn't expect them to be here. And Cincinnati is just, you can see they're a coming team. They've got star talent with Burrow, with Mixon, with Chase. They just, you know, they're going to be around. And it's fun to watch a team on the rise and see how far they can go, which is a good segue perhaps into the next game, because what are we looking at with Mac Jones and the New England Patriots? Don't you think he's kind of the question mark? Just as Tyler said, it's all about Derek Carr. Don't you think this game between him and Josh Allen is mostly about, is he ready for this moment?
It's a flip of the narrative, the traditional narrative, in which for 20 years the Patriots have dominated this team thanks to the number 12 taking the snaps, and now it's the opposite. You're absolutely right. The dialogue up here, Mitch, you can't ask Jones to win the game, but you could ask Allen to win the game, and the quarterback edge is decidedly the check mark, and that goes to Buffalo right now, and people don't know really what they can expect out of Mac Jones. This is a final exam. You know, it's odd to go into it for us here, knowing that the other guy the other team has a better quarterback.
Yeah, how weird. Well,
wait, Mitch, you said Mac Jones to me going into this game is not a question mark. He's played like crap for a month now. okay, other than when they lit up the Jaguars. The surprise now, and this is not diminishing what the young man has done. It is not suggesting that he's not going to be a star of the league, all that. I love him. I love his composure. I love the way he stepped into that job in that place for that coach and actually had the same Bob, I keep saying this, though. I read the Boston papers. Mac must be wondering where all his friends went, because he went from being the boy wonder. I don't even know what I'd call him at this point. But if he plays really well in this game, Mitch, I'm going to be surprised. Again, it's not where you start, it's where you finish.
Where he finished at least a few weeks ago, 14 for 32. Two interceptions against the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
And at the same time, his counterpart was 30 for 47, three touchdowns, 314 yards. So, yeah, he went from wonder boy to boy, I wonder.
And, that's why you're you. See, I couldn't come up with that. Thank you, Mitch.
But Bill Belichick still does coach that team. And once again, this comes down to, you know, Mike, you made a big thing of it. It was funny last year. We ran it all season long about who's winning, Brady or Belichick. And, of course, Brady ends up going to the Super Bowl and Belichick ends up out of the playoffs. This is another one of those moments where, okay, you got back to the postseason now. Does Belichick have some trick up his sleeve? It would be different, I think, if they were playing a team that they never played before. Third time around, how many new wrinkles can you come up with? They can't do the let's hide the ball and hand it off to 107 times and have throw three passes. They already tried that. Is there something, Bob, in your mind that Belichick has been saving for this game?
Well, it's not just Belichick. It's Belichick and Josh McDaniels. You can't, because it's the offensive creativity that McDaniels has shown at times. You know, is there something in the bag we haven't seen all year, or something we haven't seen since week one? Or is there something, you know, that's what we're, you have to factor that in. It's not just Belichick. It is definitely Belichick and McDaniels. So it's a duo there. So we don't know. Their receiving core has been questionable. Is still, you know, not the elite at all. I'm not even sure exactly who's going to be healthy.
It's never been elite, Bob. It's never been elite.
Well, it was in 07.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It was when Wes Welker's catching 110 in Grocks and Gronk. You know. Yeah. But it was then.
It
but
was
not
made elite by the quarterback. Let's
yeah.
put it that
way. All right. Yeah. No, but they were all right. But anyway, no. Belichick has had the edge on his counterpart in Buffalo. Believe me. And there are guys that don't seem to be afraid of him or is not spooked by him. But McDermott isn't one of them.
Well, wait. Okay. We all over. You know, I see some of these shows. Okay, overreaction Friday or overreaction Monday. Bob, we overreacted to one bad loss and one bad night in impossible conditions for McDermott. And he was so intimidated by that the next time they played him, his team went into Foxborough and kicked their ass. So I completely dispute that Belichick is still in Sean McDermott's head.
Okay. All right.
Well, I mean, really? I mean, seriously.
I want to say, all right, well, here's, this is the, all right, well, let's see what this game brings. All right. Yeah, it's a fair point. I'm not going to, I'm going to grant you that edge. Oh, thank you. Okay.
Well, that's
all right, fine, but I want to see the playoff game. But still, historically, that's been the case. So if he finally figured something out, McDermott, great. More power to him. They have more assets. They ought to win the game. They're home. Frankly, the Patriots are a team. One of the stories was written this week. After week, all these games, we still don't know who they are, that kind of thing. You know, that's a convenient journalistic hook that we've all used at one time or another.
And you know that for all the talk about, you know, the Patriots' defense this year, that the Bills actually have the number one defense?
Mitch, don't you think that you got to give some props to the Bills, because they were staggering around in the middle of the ring looking like they were, like, right a month ago.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they now look an awful lot like the team that we saw back in September and into early October. And that speak, you know, again, anything can happen. Of course, obviously it's a playoffs. We've seen this. The puncher's chance thing, it always applies in a one game season. But this speaks at least a little bit to Josh Allen's athletic character and the character of this team, don't you think?
The only caveat I have on that, Mike, when I look at it, is they got healthy against some crap teams, with the exception of that Patriots win, which was in the middle of it. They They last, you know, the real test, last real test was against the Bucks, which they lost to Brady. Then they came back and they beat the Panthers, which is easy. Then they beat the Patriots in that game we referred to. And their last two games have been against the Falcons and the Jets. I always get a little nervous when you say, well, we're on a roll. And then I look at the teams, and especially at the end of the season, you're playing lousy teams. It's always better if you're challenged. I like teams that go into the playoffs having won a tough game.
Like the Raiders.
Like the Raiders. Or even Pittsburgh, for that matter. I mean, yeah. And sometimes that can be a bugaboo, is that, you know, you weren't really challenged, and then all of a sudden now you are. So we'll see. But Mike, I think it all goes off the table because these guys are so familiar with one another. When you play the same team three times, there is just nothing surprising. I don't think Belichick can come up with some kind of thing that nobody's ever seen. It's just put your best against our best and hope that they're going to have their best day. And I think when you consider this game under that kind of an equation, the Bills come out on top.
I have to favor the Bills. I'll be surprised if the Patriots win this game. Yeah. Absolutely. They have more going for them.
And then,
by the way,
course,
the weather, it's going to be a icebox special game. Yeah. By the way, so, yeah.
Which will matter. I mean, it does matter. It does affect the way you throw.
Yeah.
And then it's just perfect for Patriots fans if they watch their team lose on Saturday night, that the first thing they have to do when they get up on Sunday is watch Tom Brady play.
That's right.
We'll get to that game. But first, a word from our friends at Geico. Hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Do we not agree that that looks like
the flop,
you know,
of the
again,
week?
It may be the mismatch of the weekend. Touchdown Tom against the Eagles. Don't you think so?
I'm looking at it, Mike. We're thinking on this case along the same lines. It's just a matter of who is the bum of the month opponent that is going to be put up against Tampa Bay, frankly. And it happens to be Philadelphia.
You know what, Bobby? I was just thinking, you know who that was a year ago? The Washington football team who gave Touchdown Tom and the Bucks all they wanted that day.
Yeah, well, I mean, sure. We can go back to the any given Sunday, you know, theme and of the league, and that's fine. But I think who among us will not be gobsmacked if the Eagles won their game? No, we expect.
Well, the Eagles can run the ball, and the Bucs can stop the run, and I think we all know this about Tom Brady, about Aaron Rodgers, about Patrick Mahomes. The best way to beat them is to keep them off the field, right?
Yep.
This is tried and true. This is nothing. This is like 2 + 2 = 4. And the best way to keep a quarterback off the field is to convert your third downs and eat up the clock. And the best way to do that is running the football. So I think their best chance is to do what they do best, the Eagles, and try to run. And, of course, that's going into the teeth of the Bucs defense. But that's their bet. I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to win this thing with his arm. But he could, you know, scramble around on every third down. Put it this way: every third down that the Eagles convert is a small victory for them because they keep Tom Brady off the field.
Mitch, it goes all the way back to the second time the Giants won the Super Bowl against the Bills. And the Bills were coming off a game where they had just beaten Bo Jackson and Tyler's Raiders 51-3 in the championship game. And somebody asked Parcells that week, you know, something about Jim Kelly, and Parcells said, we're not going to let him play. And that what you just described, Mitch, that's exactly what the Giants did in that Super Bowl. They ran the ball. They didn't run the ball with a running back immortal. Their star was O.J. Anderson that day, okay?
Right.
But they ate up the clock, and guess what? Jim Kelly really didn't get to play. And, you know, again, I'm referencing again, puncher's chance playoffs. Whatever puncher's chance the Eagles have, it starts with that template.
Mike, was it not a 2-1 time of possession?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Edge.
No.
Yeah.
2-1.
Yeah, we were all at that game. That was the Gulf War game, if I remember correctly. We were all watching. It was like run, 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 run left, run right, O.J. Anderson, O.J. Anderson. But
is
in
Evans,
the end, they won what they needed to win.
Just for, we know, is Evans available? I forget, Mike, in this game?
I'm sorry. Well, I didn't hear you about what.
No, if Evans available, when, you know, when, Tom's going to have somebody to throw to other than Gronk, you would think. I mean, that could be an issue. I don't know. You know.
But listen, I can create a scenario where the Eagles make this a competitive game for a while, right? Just the way the Washington football team did last year. But there always comes a point in those games, Bob and Mitch, where you just have the feeling that Brady could be throwing to the three of us and figure out a way to get this done. So in so many ways, barring a huge upset, I would say that this is a dream opponent for them to begin their quest for a second Super Bowl in a row.
One small detail on Philadelphia to keep in mind, they have not beaten a team this year with a winning record.
Is that true, Mitch?
They are in the playoffs. They have not beaten a team with a winning record.
Wow.
They are 0-6 against the teams that are in the playoffs.
Great.
That's
our...
Okay, so you think... I guess you're... I guess
so
you're saying,
I'm kind of putting my money on the Bucks.
Our fact of the day.
I don't mean
Mitch,
to tilt my hand like that. But
that's a fun fact, Mitch.
You're the leader in the clubhouse with the fact of the day on this trio.
But, Mitch, you think that that's going to be a factor as they play the greatest quarterback of all?
So you're saying that matters.
Yeah.
So many games to go to. So many games.
All right,
the next one is full of intrigue, I think, in terms of the Dallas situation. Who's got more pressure is one of the parlor game questions, the coach or the quarterback and for Dallas in this game. Let's start with that.
Bob, if they need their coach to win this game, they're going to lose, okay?
You know
my feelings about McCarthy.
You don't want him to screw it up. He could screw it up, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, Mitch, the 49ers are back to being what we thought they were going to be a month ago. A team, we thought it was going to be the Colts in the AFC. Yeah. They're a team that nobody wants to play. We just talked about what the Raiders did, okay? In their last the last time we had our eyes on them, man, oh, man, were the 49ers great last Sunday. And Jimmy G, I don't know what the thumb issue is, when he had to take him down the field, basically twice, with it all on the line, he did that. And they can run the ball. And Samuel has become a star of the sport. Oh. And George Kittle will get you a big first down. I'm telling you, for me, this might be the best game of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Really, Bob? You think there's any... I mean, going
no,
in...
No, look, I'm looking again. I'm looking quickly. Arizona Rams. All right. No, I think that's all right.
If you have to look, I mean...
Oh, I am looking. I want to make sure.
You tell him, Tyler.
I don't want to speak in haste.
Does he not come prepared, Tyler? Does he not prepare for this podcast?
Always. I mean, we're always prepared here.
I do not. I'm staring at my
neck. It's like when somebody says, "Are you joking?" And I always say, "Well, if you have to ask."
Well, you might. All right, okay, fine.
Sorry, it was just low-hanging fruit.
On paper, okay, it just looks like... I mean, there's so much for Dallas to lose on this. They've been building to this point with Dak's comeback and everything, you know, going to San Francisco they've had a season where at one point you had no expectation that they would even be in the postseason. Jimmy Garoppolo was on his way out. Trey Lance was the new savior. And now they're the team that nobody wants to play. They absolutely took the game away from the LA Rams in their home stadium. Apparently they travel with their own 40,000 fan base, so I don't know, they may be bringing them down to Dallas. So I just think on paper this looks like a great game.
It's a great, Mitch, it's a great game, because when you look at the Cowboys, okay, you look at them on both sides of the ball. They have a guy who's probably going to be a rookie who may end up probably be the defensive player of the year in Micah Parsons. Okay, CeeDee Lamb has turned out to be a star. They still have Amari Cooper. They still have Ezekiel Elliott, who is not what he was, but he was good enough to gain 1,000 yards this year. And they have Dak Prescott. And they look like they ought to be as complete a team as the Packers or anybody else in the sport, except they're not. Okay? Except they're not. And I will go back to something we all have talked about for years. And it is this, and you guys hear me ask this question a lot. Do you see Dak Prescott with his arms around the Lombardi Trophy?
It's good. I could. I could.
I can see it, but not because he won them the game.
That's what I'm talking about, Mitch. That's exactly what I mean.
You know, I mean, I can see him leading. He's certainly a good enough quarterback. I mean, you look at the history of Super Bowl quarterbacks, they're not all Tom Brady, although so they're often
most
Tom
of
Brady.
Them are, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But you know, sometimes they're a guy who you never hear from again. He's not in that category. He's definitely good enough, but I think they have to go on the strength of their defense and their entire team to win a Super Bowl. I don't think that Dak Prescott by himself wins you a game or a Super Bowl the way that a Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady is capable of. But he's not those guys, but wouldn't you put him in the next group?
He's in the next grouping. It's like the joke we used to have in New York. Is Eli Manning an elite quarterback? Okay. No, he wasn't an elite quarterback, but he was good enough to win the big game. Mitch, I agree with what you're saying. He's good enough to win the big game. But for me, I always go back to the line Ernie Accorsi always used when somebody was describing Unitas. Can you take your team down the field with a championship on the line? Okay, I'm not saying you have to be a championship quarterback the whole time, but can you do that? I still want to see Dak do that. Last week, in completely different circumstances, and it wasn't a championship on the line, Jimmy Garoppolo did that twice, okay? And the other quarterback in this game. And I would love to see Dak do that when the money's on the table. And there's just something holding me back on this guy.
Well, that begins now. I mean, money's on the table now. And they have way more to lose. San Francisco is a stronger, San Francisco, they're finished 10-7. But if Dallas loses this game, there's going to be a lot more questions about the Dallas Cowboys than there will be if San Francisco loses the game and questions about San Francisco. So the money's on the table now, and let's see. I mean, you can't do it until you do it. And he has already defied some odds, Mike. I think you and I would probably agree that Dak Prescott has come further along in his career to this moment.
And come back from a catastrophic injury, too. Oh, I'm give him all props that. For that, Mitch.
I'm including that. That then we might have thought a couple years ago. So he is getting better. He is proving himself. And if he wins a couple games in these playoffs, we're going to be talking about him a little bit differently than we are right now. But you're absolutely right. Now's the time to show it.
Can I talk about one guy? I referenced him before, okay? And by the way, Dak Prescott's still only 28 years old. So, it's not like he's on the back nine. Can we talk about Deebo Samuel? Because he has become one of my favorite players to watch. I knew a little bit about him. I'd seen him do big things. But man, oh man, he has become a game breaker and a game changer for the 49ers.
You know who he is? He's the Ja Morant of football at the moment.
Boy, oh boy, is he good. Oh, my God. I forgot he even went to South Carolina. I mean, I didn't go look that up the other day. He's a star. He's got star quality. He made a great throw the other day.
Yeah.
No, he is.
Not his first.
And he's only 6 feet tall.
I know.
He's one of those guys that's just, he's just what they call in a most positive way, a football player. He just makes football plays. He can throw it. He can run it. He can catch it. He can when you throw him the ball, he suddenly looks like a running back. He's a great weapon, and he escaped a lot of people's attention.
And by the way, he was lining up against Jalen Ramsey. A lot of the time, this guy is the real deal. And if there's an X factor in this game, right, it could turn out to be this kid.
Yeah. I just think San Francisco's playing with a lot of inertia. I think that win goes a long way for them, and I would not be surprised, especially that defense is a swarming defense. They can give anybody trouble. Granted, Dak Prescott is more mobile than Matthew Stafford, but he's not Kyler Murray, and they don't even blitz very often, and they get all kinds of pressure on the quarterback. So, I that game is circled for
it's
me,
a
and
beauty,
it's prime
right?
spot, 4:30 on Sunday. It's perfect. Everybody
it's
in the country is going to be
and
watching.
And Mitch, are 49ers fans going to take Travel over Jerry's take, world the way they took over SoFi.
I think Jerry Jones is buying up any tickets that anybody in Dallas isn't. That's the difference. You know, it was funny to see Kelly Stafford, who is Matthew Stafford's wife, who I know very well, and she's very vocal. She's very big on social media. And she came out and made a plea to the Rams fans to not sell their tickets this week to the Arizona Cardinals fans because her husband could not hear himself call plays. They had to go to a silent count during the Rams
at home in SoFi.
The thing is, if you have to already ask people, please don't sell your tickets to .. you're already in trouble. Because if people are selling playoff tickets to somebody else, that means they don't want to be there. It means that, you know, it's once again why people question why they had to rush a franchise back to Los Angeles where all those years they didn't have one, Tyler, and nobody cared because, you know, the second biggest market in the country went years without an NFL franchise.
And then they had to give them two. They had to give them two.
Try to get anybody to come out. And now you see the effects of this, and the wife of the starting quarterback has to beg fans not to sell their
Tyler,
tickets.
It's like you said about Bob. It's for Kelly Stafford, if you have to ask.
Yeah. Well, they're not like that at Dodger Stadium, okay? Come on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And USC was the pro team here for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, real quick, you guys caught me off guard with the Raiders question up front. I did look it up. That Raider-Bengal game, real quick, it was close. It was 13-16 in the fourth quarter. Okay, the Raiders scored a touchdown, made it 13-16, but then the Raiders did the Raiders, and they went interception, Bengals scored a touchdown, then the Raiders went fumble, and the Bengals scored a touchdown, and that was the game. But it was close. Joe Burrow only had 148 yards and one touchdown. Joe Mixon was the rushing hero of that game.
Hey,
so
Tyler,
it was close.
What's the feeling with your, you know, fans of your team?
Yeah.
Has Bisaccia, is he going to keep the job or do they have to do something in the playoffs?
It feels like the right thing should do is to keep the guy because he's kind of earned it. But right. It feels like the Raiders are going to pull some like big name out of the hat, you know?
Harbaugh.
Yeah. I mean, I just feels like that's a Raider thing to do. But I feel like the right thing would just be keep it what they got and just
he's
build
done a
with
hell
this
of a job.
No, it has. And for Vegas, it's a moment for Vegas to rally around the Raiders, like kind of like the Golden Knights had. It's really big for them to be big in Vegas.
All right, listen,
sorry,
we are sponsored by Geico. We are sponsored by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. We have one more game to talk about with a quarterback on one of these teams. Guys, that I swear I feel Roethlisberger was in college when I was at Boston College. Right?
I have that same feeling. But I went to school with that guy.
Mitch and Bob, does it not feel like the farewell tour just began somewhere over where Three Rivers Stadium used to be and has been going on and on and on? And it's like Carrie, okay? Just when you think Roethlisberger is dead, the hand comes up and it's got a football in it and he's got a game against Mahomes and the Chiefs. Oh, my God.
You said earlier that teams never think in terms of house money, and fans do. I do all the time. But I don't care what they say, and they are, if there's anybody in this tournament playing with house money, you know, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if they lose, they lose. And he's over, and hurrah.
But
and they
nobody
do the,
looks at it like that. Not
I know, but I'm looking
player.
At it like that because that's
well,
reality.
You can they look can at it like that. You're not playing the game. Not
I know, but I know
who's
that they're not
that.
Going to admit. By the way, you know that Roethlisberger came out and put his tongue in his cheek to say, we have no chance. And some people actually interpreted that he actually meant it. We know he doesn't mean it. It was a joke. We might as well play. We have no chance to win, but what the hell? We're here. We might as well play.
There is no such thing as house money when you get to the playoffs in any sport. It's a nice time-worn element to these stories. Bob, it doesn't exist. Not one
person. They
won't
admit it, but it's...
Tell me that they won't admit it because you know what they're really thinking, because you do not. Not one person
you
in
think
that...
that- You know, I'd be willing to bet that there's more than one person that knows, hey, we're here, what the hell? Yeah, this is a bunch of crap. People, they won't admit it. They can't. I understand that. But don't tell me that's human nature. I'm sorry. They have to know. They're too damn smart sometimes. And they know damn right well when they have next to no chance to win.
What both of you were saying is the fact is, once you start a game, these guys are so conditioned to go for it and play. That thought never enters their head once a game starts. Yeah, during the course of a week when you're doing press conferences and you can think all that stuff. But when players start playing, I'm with Mike. Once the game starts, you're competitive. Your lifelong training. This is your profession. This is your vocation. This is your childhood. This is your teenage years. This is everything. You go out there and try to win. You never think about, we're not supposed to win.
But back, I would think that when the game starts, that's when the reality sets in sometimes. So that's all. I know they'll never admit it,
Bob, it's a reality. You have conflated this into something that suits your narrative. We're not talking about what you could get them to admit. We're talking about what Mitch just talked about. Athletes who have a chance to win a playoff game. Bob, do you think if they go down and they receive the opening kickoff and they go down the field and score and it's 7-0 for the Steelers, do you think, oh man, we're even playing with more house money? No, they think they're going to win the game.
Yeah, well, what if the opposite happens?
That's it. The opposite could happen, Bob, but it doesn't change what their mindset is.
All right, fine. I'm just saying, Joe.
I think it's a very viable phrase.
I think in some context, it's a very viable phrase that I feel very comfortable using.
I would not be surprised because Kansas City does have some history of starting slow and looking a little out of it. And we've all watched Kansas City this season, and it's like watching Elvis Presley, with a tick in his throat or something. He said, well, he's still the king, but something doesn't sound right here.
Are you talking about fat Elvis or in the white leather or skinny Elvis?
No, fat Elvis, but who's got a little laryngitis. You know, he's still the king, but it doesn't quite
like
sound right.
Like you, Mitch, like your voice right now.
Exactly, except without Elvis's talent. But Kansas City has not looked complete. Even though they have won enough games to get to where they are, they almost got the number one seed. But there are moments during the course of the season where Kansas City has been very puzzling. And it's possible that the Steelers come out and have one of those drives, and this is at halftime, it's 13-10. And everyone's going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I just think over the course of four quarters, the superior talent that they have will win out. And I fear for Ben Roethlisberger, because while I don't admire him as a human being, he's had a long, long storied career in the NFL. And it would be a shame to watch him literally get sacked into retirement and intercepted into retirement. But both of those things could happen. He holds on to the ball far too long, as we know. He throws some duck passes these days, and he's very gettable. And if the Kansas City defense decides to go after him, they're going to get him. And it could be a rather ignoble day for him as his finale.
All right. May we turn the page to a game that has already been played, a big game that we know how it came out. And, guys, I'll look at this game in a bunch of different ways. And obviously, Stetson is a great story. The Georgia defense is a great story. But, man, oh, man, Bryce Young got shown up a little on Monday night.
Well, he lost his two top receivers.
Oh, no, I understand. I understand.
I mean, pretty important for a young man. He's still a freshman. That hurt. I think that was underplayed in the analysis in the post game.
No, I mean, Nick, in a very respectful way, talked about that quite a bit after the game was over, and he was right. And you had talked about, I think it was you or Mitch, had talked about Mechie.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, it was you, Mitch.
I mentioned Mechie
going
in.
But then he lost, the other guy.
No, I'm with Bob on this. I think, okay, the one fatal blow was the interception at the end, which was not a necessary pass to throw. Until that point, there was still a chance.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, can I ask you a question about that last drive, Mitch? Because I'm watching it play out. I know they're down receivers, okay? Why out of the blue did the offensive genius, Bill O'Brien, have the kids start throwing deep balls when they just need to, right, to make first downs and keep going down the field?
You know, it was 18-13. you know, had the lead with Alabama with 10-14 left in the game. This was not, even though it finished 33-18, you know, anyone who watched the game knows this was a close game. And I thought that their best receiver was that Latu guy, you know, yeah. and they should have just kept finding him over the middle and do things short. I think what to go along with what Bob said, I watched Bryce Young throw passes to his third and fourth receivers the way he threw them to Mechie and to what's the guy's name, Jameson, and he was expecting them to come down with those passes, and they didn't. You can see that they don't quite have that same talent. And that's what Alabama quarterbacks get to do when you get to throw to receivers like Alabama has. They make spectacular catches. They always beat their defender. And he was kind of counting on those receivers to do the same thing. And you saw one pass after another go off a guy's hands or just miss. And you couldn't help but say, well, if that was Mechie, if that was the other two guys, they would have caught it. And I think he kept thinking like that. And then he made that one fatal, really bad pass. And that was the end of the game.
There was a flip side, the other side turned to the Bulldogs. I was impressed. I don't think it was phony anything. The tears that Bennett was showing on the sideline, thinking about his entire journey to get to that moment in his life. His athletic journey. You know, that's his some amazing
shot,
story.
Yeah. Bob,
he didn't handle it so well after that.
Mr. Album,
during the game, they should have ended the story right there with the tears on the side. I never spoke it to him.
And said, kid, don't talk. Just
don't
cry.
Talk. Because
don't
once
talk.
He started opening his mouth, he started taking a lot of
What a great story. What a great story for Georgia. What a great story for Kirby Hart. Smart. It makes the sport more interesting that, you know, I mean, Alabama's always going to be there. They're always going to be there. But
as long as he's there.
They flipped the story and talk about teams that gathered themselves after being rocked. They got rocked in the SEC championship game. People gave up on them. They got off that bandwagon and they came back and they put it on Michigan. And when it was on, when the money was on the table in that game, they put it on Alabama the other night.
100%. And, you know, I thought Saban was gracious.
Great. Yeah, I thought he was great.
Yeah, I mean, I think he recognized that, you know, when he lost those guys, he was up against it. And that Georgia defense is what the Georgia defense was advertised as. And, I guess it was the second lowest rated or something like that. And maybe, it's funny, I was listening to some of the sports talk around here and they were asking, you know, I live in Detroit, obviously there's no connection to the teams, and they were asking people, are you going to watch this game? It was, you know, Monday afternoon.
Right.
Everybody was saying no, got no interest in it. No, and I was really surprised. I was like, what, you don't watch a national championship because your team's not in it? But I mean, maybe some people feel that way, or maybe they're the highest rated one of these Alabama Georgia things was the first one, which I apparently got a high rating, but I guess they keep coming back and doing it over and over, and I guess people are getting tired of it. I thought we watched the two best teams play, and you know, I don't think Bryce Young has to worry about not being picked to basically as the favorite to win it again next year. I would imagine Alabama's already on the clock as the favorite for next year, wouldn't you?
Well, that's the big philosophical question always. Is this good or bad for football when the SEC is so dominant and we have an inter-squad scrimmage, you know, for the national championship in terms of the SEC, and whether, you know, it'd be much more helpful to have some balance in nationally?
Well, I think NIL is going to change that. I think you're going to see Texas teams where there's a lot of money start to get bigger, West Coast teams. Start to get big. Even you see what Deion Sanders and some of the guys who are offering. Wasn't there a guy offering $1 million for someone to come out to his school and play? You could do that now. I mean, you could just come out and say, hey, if you come and play, I'm going to give you $1 million. The stuff that used to, you know, when a millionth of that could get you an NCAA violation and thrown off the team just a few years ago. Now you can literally come out and say, hey, you know, I'm a rich businessman. I'll give you $1 million if you come. And you can say it publicly. So I think this is going to start to spread the wealth. Alabama has a lot of boosters, but they're not the only school with rich boosters. Huh. And, you know, I do think, ironically, that might be the thing that breaks up this gridlock of the same couple of teams always playing for the national championship.
Yeah. Hey, Mitch, speaking of Rich Boosters, how do you like Steve Ross saying that the Michigan, who's done things for Michigan, that he does not want to be, he will not be the guy that will take Jim Harbaugh from Michigan?
So there's one vote, Mike, in my direction. I know you're sure that Harbaugh's going to jump, but he's not going to jump to Miami.
Who wouldn't want to go work for a great owner like Steve Ross? Okay. All right.
We'll see if he does. By the way, we'll talk about the Rams-Arizona game on Monday because for the first time ever, there will be a NFL playoff game in Monday Night Football. Pretty amazing.
I think we get Mannings, too, don't we?
I think so, Mike.
I think we get Peyton and Eli, too.
All right, time for parting shots. This week's parting shots are brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Bob Ryan, lead us off.
Now, parting shots.
13 months after being diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, John Lester pitched 5 2/3 shutout innings in Game 4's closing World Series 2000 sweep of the Rockies. That was the first of three rings he earned, two with the Red Sox and one with the Cubs as they ended their 108-year series drought in 2016. Lester retired Wednesday with a 200-117 career record and, more importantly, a reputation as a guy you want on your side when the going gets tough. I could go on with the numbers, but you can look those up. My colleague, Peter Abraham, summed up Lester beautifully by writing today, quote, "Every Sox player knew Lester was going to give them everything he had, whether it was hot, cold, or 50,000 rabid Yankee fans screaming for his head," unquote. What more do you need to know?
Bob, there was never a bigger postseason start in history than the one he made down 3-1 for the Cubs in the 2016 World Series. Okay. All right, the New York Giants now start all over again. We'd convinced ourselves after the second Super Bowl over Belichick and Brady and them that the Giants were a model franchise. Well, it turns out they're not. In the 10 years since that last Super Bowl, they have lost 100 games. If you're looking for some sort of frame of reference, the Jets have only lost 6 more in that time. Here are the coaches John Mara has hired who aren't named Tom Coughlin: Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur, Joe Judge. McAdoo can't even get a coordinator's job now. Shurmur just lost a coordinator's job. Judge, at this point in his career, isn't qualified to be a coordinator. So the Giants are now looking for a new GM and a new coach. And maybe this time around, John Mara, one of the owners, won't sound as giddy after an interview with these candidates as he did after the one with Judge. You know who can interview well? Almost anybody who tells you what you want to hear.
Everyone agreed that Stetson Bennett was a great college football story, but somebody forgot to give him the script. After he won the national championship with Georgia, he was interviewed on the field, where he seemed mostly dazed. The next day, he was on Good Morning America, looking like he was about to pass out from partying. And later he said, when asked about next season, quote, "I'm going to play football this year. We'll see where. We will see if I can trust the decisions made by the staff." Whoa. Talk about failing the audition. This kid was set up to be the absolute darling of college football. Instead, after doing everything but mowing the lawn to get the job as Georgia's starting quarterback, he now has fans wondering if he'll bolt someplace else? Hey, Bennett's not obligated to do anything except play hard and try and win, which he did. But if his story was, as so many were saying, a Hollywood script, I think they're going to find someone else to play his part. That's going to wrap it up for today's program. We will be back on Monday in what definitely promises to be a great podcast with all the football to report on this weekend. If you like what you heard, please leave us a rating or a comment. We always appreciate those. Tell your friends who enjoy the Sports Reporter's legacy that we are in podcast land on Apple and Stitcher and Spotify and Pandora and any place you get popular podcasts. Until we see you on Monday, on behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, I'm Mitch Albom saying have a great weekend.